bomb a 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 dang a dang dang a ding a dong.
Blue moon, blue moon, you saw me standing alone.
Hello and welcome back to the Railway Men podcast. It's been a little while since we dusted off the player pod, but today's should be a real cracker. Joining me today to ask some questions along the way, I've got James Tate and Trevor Griffiths. Hello, guys.
Hello, everyone.
Hi, everyone.
I'm also joined by last season's top scorer for Crew Alex. It's Dan Ajay. Hello, Dan.
Hi there. Yeah.
Welcome to the podcast. Just really quickly, before we get going, did I say that right? Is it Dan Ajay? Is that the right way to say the surname, or is it something slightly different?
It's actually Dan Ajay. Dan Ajay, but everyone says whatever they want to say, yeah.
Okay, fair enough. I have been calling you Dan Ajay for the last two seasons, so I do apologise for that, but yeah. It's what I heard from Graham McGarry and Pete Morse on commentary, so I can blame them. Okay, Dan, what we normally do with these player podcasts is we normally get started by asking how you got into the game, when you remember playing football as a kid, and when you realised that you actually might be good enough to make it as a career. You're from Southwest London, I believe, and you joined the Wimbledon youth team. Can you just take us through like your early memories up to joining Wimbledon as a young player?
Yeah, so I joined Wimbledon at 15 years old. But I mean, that's quite old for like joining an academy. Before that, it was the Sunday League, and for a few years. And before that, I was playing the Saturday League, just for a local team. And I was always quite good at football from a young age. When I was three or four, I could already kick the ball a lot further than everyone else and score a lot of goals at that age. And I think just in terms of me realising maybe I could go all the way and become a footballer, maybe when I was at Wimbledon and I was scoring a lot of goals there, and when I started to attract some interest like elsewhere, I think that's when it really I think that's when I really thought like maybe I can get somewhere in this game.
Did you always play in a forward position, Dan, or did you explore other positions?
Yeah. So I've always been as a kid growing up, I was just a centre forward striker. When I joined Oxford, that's when I learned how to do the role as a winger. And yes, but it's always been a forward position for me.
One thing I was looking at when you left is that you just mentioned there was a few teams interested in you, and it was actually Burnley that took you away from Wimbledon, who were in the Premier League at the time. What was it that attracted you all the way up to North Lancashire? What was it Burnley sold you on?
For me, I just thought Burnley was a team that went up, but they weren't. In the grand scheme of Premier League clubs, they weren't a big Premier League club, and I thought that there would be an opportunity there for me maybe to break through into the first team. So I think that's why I went there, yeah.
Yeah, talking about breaking into the first team, I don't know if I knew this or I'd forgotten it or I just didn't know this at all, but you played three times in the Premier League for Burnley, and I think that knowledge escaped my attention, but you made your debut for Burnley at Anfield, which seems like quite a big deal.
Yeah. So I think it was in the 2017 season. In the first half of the season, I went on loan to Coventry. I did all right on that loan. That was my first loan move. And then Burnley recalled me and said that they want me around the first team squad. But at the time, they had four strikers. They played a 4-4-2 and they only needed four strikers. But I remember I was going to go on loan to a few championship teams at the time, and I wanted to go on loan. But Sean Dyche he called me in the office and said there might be an opening, because I think they were looking at sending Patrick Bamford back to Chelsea at the time. And he ended up going back, and I think he went on loan again to Middlesbrough. And there was an opening for me, and that's when I started to get opportunities, I was training with the first team every day, and then maybe a few game weeks later, I got the opportunity to be on the bench for the first time. I think it was against Hull. Didn't get on. And then the next time was Liverpool at Anfield, and yeah, I got on, and it was just a great experience. You know, to see it packed out Anfield, and yeah, it's a moment I'll never forget, really.
What was that like culturally for you, Dan, moving from London up to Burnley? How was that? I imagine that was a lot. How old were you as well?
I was 18 at the time. I think it was a big culture shock. I didn't know what to expect. All I had known before was just London, and you know, I hadn't seen a world past London. And to be fair, I enjoyed it. I think I grew up quite quickly, and yeah, I enjoyed the experience.
Okay, so I mean, I'm going to move on to the Coventry loan, but I mean, it's worth saying that your other two appearances in the Premier League came at Goodison Park and then a home game against Man United. So you didn't do too badly for oppositions in the Premier League, really.
Yeah, I think those are probably the best games that I could play in, and yeah, it was a great experience, and it's something that, you know, I always look back on. And I mean, in my career now, I do want to try and get back there, but it's a big achievement, and yeah, I'm happy to have made that achievement.
At the time, did you feel like it was within your capabilities to be playing at that level, or did you have any doubts at that time, or did you feel comfortable and confident?
Yeah, I felt comfortable and confident. In training, I was training really well with the team, and I wasn't. I didn't feel like I was out of place either.
Who else, out of interest, who else was your competition? You mentioned Bamford. Who else were the other three strikers, was it?
So we had Andre Gray at the time, Sandberg, Ashley Barnes.
It's not bad, is it? Yeah, you had some tough competition.
You mentioned before about going on loan to Coventry before that. That was, I think, your league debut would have been Coventry. As a young Premier League player, which you were at the time, what are you told about these loan spells? What are you told is the aim? And do you have really any say in if you're going out on loan or where you're going? Or is it just the manager, Sean Dyche, tells me we're going to Coventry, so I'm going to Coventry?
No, with the Coventry situation, I think I was going to go to a few teams before. So I think Morecambe, I did like a trial game with them at the time, and there was an opportunity for me to go to Scotland as well. But in pre-season, I think there was a few injuries for the first team players, and I ended up getting on the bench in the pre-season game, and then there was more injuries in the game. And then I ended up coming on against Bradford, I think, at Valley Parade, and I came on for maybe 15 minutes, played well, and I got an assist. And that led to me starting the next preseason game for the first team, I think against Bolton. And I done well. And then that led to me going to Coventry. So at the time, I think they told me that there was interest from Coventry. I think I was expected to go out on loan. I had no idea where, but it just ended up being Coventry because I think Tony Mowbray watched the Bolton game and liked me at the time.
Whilst you're on loan at Coventry, one thing I think I noticed, and it seems a bit peculiar because we'll get to the crew time in your career as well, but you scored on your debut on the opening day. Something you've done three times is an opening day goal. So it's, you know, those people that are listening that like a gamble, Dan Ajai might be a good first goal scorer on opening day of the season.
I've scored on a few of my debuts, actually, so That's a good thing. I think it was Coventry I scored on my debut, and Walsall.
Yeah, you mentioned there Walsall. So the 2017-2018 season, half a season at Walsall. And apologies, obviously wasn't watching Walsall in 2017-18, but you seemed to be doing quite well. You'd scored 5-6 goals or so. And then there was a switch in January to Blackpool. and I don't think you scored for Blackpool, whose decision is it then to make that change in loans? Because, you know, it's, we as a Crewe fan, you know, we're quite worried about losing some of our loan players at the moment who are doing really well because, you know, January is coming up. We lost Arthur Okonkwo halfway through the season last year. Whose decision is that? Is that the player? Is that the manager at the Premier League club? Is it the clubs who the players are on loan at?
I think ultimately, I think it is up to the player what they want to do. I mean, it depends on the circumstances. Maybe there's other clubs that are interested, so maybe clubs would want to send the player somewhere else. But ultimately, I think it does come down to the player and what they want to do.
Okay, I'm going to move on to your time away from Burnley now then. You went to Oxford after Burnley. When did you know, when did it become apparent that the best thing for you to do was to go and join a different club and start playing regular football, establish yourself in the first team of a different club and try and get back into the Premier League doing it that way?
I would say maybe the season when I was on loan at Walsall. So the season before, I got opportunities in the Prem and I had a good loan, had a decent loan move at Coventry. And I thought that I would just keep progressing and progressing. And there became a point in time where I could no longer see a pathway for me to get into the Burnley first team. So I felt like it was time for me to move on. And that's when I decided to join Oxford, yeah.
What was Sean Dyche like in that time of your career, Dan? Did you have much involvement with him? And does he sort of compare to other managers you've dealt with?
Yeah, he was good with me, to be fair. I told him what I thought, and he, I think at the time, came back and tried to give me some examples of players, you know, like just having patience, really. And, you know, like, I was only a young lad at the time, just saying that there are players that have been going out on loan and, you know, they're only breaking into the first team maybe 4 or 5 years later. And he said there was a pathway for me, even though I couldn't see it, but it was going to be quite far down the line.
Whilst you were at Burnley, sorry, we're going off slightly off topic here. You would have been there at the same time as another ex-Crew player, Ashley Westwood. What sort of player was he like to have in the dressing room? Because he seems nowadays, now he's playing in the MLS, he's quite a leader for the Charlotte team. Was he that way at Burnley?
Yeah. Actually, Westy was, he's a great guy and a great player. And, you know, he was really encouraging to me and I got along really well with him. And, you know, even now I still speak to him every now and again. And, yeah, he's a leader. He's just a good character and good to have around the dressing room.
Did you cross paths with Chris Long at all at Burnley, Dan?
So me and Longy, we actually joined around the same time and we played together quite a lot. And I mean, he was my strike partner quite a bit as well, yeah.
What was he like at that age? Was he sort of similar to what we see in his style? And, you know, he can get quite angry with himself. He's very passionate.
Yeah, yeah. With Longy, I think Longy's always been like that. And I always make a joke to him saying that, you know, he's always angry. But he's a great guy, yeah.
So what I was going to ask you as well, again, little slant on Crewe, but looking at it from an Oxford point of view, is we saw you score a goal against Swindon last year, a penalty in front of their big supporting home end. And you seem to enjoy that one quite a lot. Was that a little bit of a little bit from your Oxford past coming through there? Or was that simply just the reaction you'd got from them on the day?
I think it was just the reaction that I got from the day, really. I just thought, you know, if I score, I'm just going to try and antagonise fans, and I think it worked. Yeah,
I think you definitely achieved that goal. Yeah, absolutely. I enjoyed it. I'm not sure many in that home end enjoyed it that day, though. Okay, getting back to Oxford then. James asked you at the start of this where you're playing, and you said you're playing on the as a forward, then you start playing on the wing. You're playing quite a lot, looking at the stats for Oxford, scoring a few goals, three to six a season, I think, is what I saw. Were you happy with playing there? Did you feel like you were getting the right opportunities in the right positions?
I wasn't happy with my game time, to be completely honest. It does say I played a lot of games, but in terms of starts, I never really started. Maybe 5 or 6 starts a season, and I felt like I was coming on and I was doing really well, but I just wasn't getting the opportunity to start games there. And I was there for quite a long time, I think 2.5 years, and we had a good team, but yeah, from a personal point of view, I didn't feel like I was playing enough minutes.
You went from, I think it was out of all your 80 games, I think 50 were from the bench.
Yeah, I think it was something high like that, yeah. And then whenever I would try and find out, like, how can I get more minutes or so on, I was just getting told there's nothing I can do.
When you were at Oxford, were you playing down the middle or were you playing out wide?
I got kind of forced out wide, I think, because at the time they had Matty Taylor and he was scoring a lot of goals and doing well. So the only time I could potentially get minutes would be out wide. So that's when I learned how to play the wide forward position.
I think I remember, you know, obviously when football clubs sign a new player, the first thing the fans do is go on social media and go to the fans of the old club. What's he like? What's this new guy like? What's he got? And I think, you know, what I remember Oxford fans saying is, he's a good player. He just hasn't really got the minutes. It's probably best for him to sort of move away and try and get a start somewhere else with you. So, I mean, that all seems to sort of match up with what you've just said. Let's go on to Crewe then, because, you know, that's why we're really here. That's what we want to talk about. You joined, and I think it's not an underestimation or an overestimation, what was an awful season for Crewe Alexander, the football club. What made you look at Crewe Alex and say, yep, they're the team I want to join. That's where I want to go right now.
I think for me personally, I was looking at Crewe and I always enjoyed playing against them, and I liked their style of play. You know, I thought they, you know, were playing out from the back a lot. And I knew they were quite a young team and they were ambitious, especially the season before when we played them. And I think that drew me to come to Crewe, and just the opportunity to get game time as well, which is something I hadn't really had in my career up until I signed for Crewe.
Was it Dave Artell that was your main sort of contact at the club, or was it someone else that was doing that part of it?
Yeah, it was Dave Artell. So I think I joined quite late in the window, and also told me that Crewe were interested in. I ended up having a few phone calls with Dave Artell, and he was telling me where he saw me at the club and how he could see the club progress. And yeah, it went well, and yeah, I signed for Crewe from that, yeah.
And then what did you think when you turned up at the club? Because obviously, you know, the facilities are quite good at Reese Heath for, you know, a club of Crewe's stature. But I imagine, was it difficult at the club at the time? Was the morale of the players sort of, were they struggling, or there's still a belief that we can get out of this and we're still good enough to avoid relegation?
Yeah, I think at the time when I signed, there was a belief that we could get out. You know, we had brought in quite a few players in that window, so we just wanted to see how we could all gel together. But at the time when I joined, it was belief. I think a bit later down the line when we just kept on losing and things weren't going our way, I think that's when people's heads might have turned a bit and people would have got more upset and the morale would have went down a bit. But initially, the morale was really high, yeah.
How hard is that playing in a team where the morale does drop? You know, because as part of this podcast, we've looked back on that season and said a lot of the times in that season, if we weren't behind, we were just like, oh, well, we've probably lost this one then. But we're fans watching it. What about you guys on the pitch? Is that the, I mean, that can't be the mentality of a professional footballer, but it, you are also people, humans at the end of the day.
Yeah, I mean, I'm someone that I try and be a leader anywhere I can. So, and obviously now I'm starting to become more of an older player and a lot of people might look up to me a bit more. So I try and keep the spirits lifted high and try not let things affect me much. So on the pitch, when things aren't going our way, we just try and keep the morale high. And as a professional footballer, it is hard, but you just need to remember that, you know, anything can happen in football, and you just need, like, you can always get opportunity to score goals or whatever. So you just need to always be ready and keep your morale high.
Yeah, I think another thing that, you know, we remember from that season is, like you say, we signed you quite late in January. So I think we had you for most of, well, we had you for February. You scored a goal against Accrington Stanley. But then halfway through, or at the beginning of March, you were off injured. And, you know, this guy that we put some hope on and said, yeah, he looks pretty good if we can get him playing, all of a sudden, yeah, you're not in the team anymore because you're out injured. That must be quite frustrating for you as well.
Yeah, for me, that was a really frustrating period because I felt like I could potentially help the team get out of the relegation zone. And then I got injured and I felt like my performances were starting to get better, although I was playing wing-back, I think, at the time. I think even in the game I got injured in Portsmouth was one of my better games that I played, and I got injured, and it was really frustrating to hear that that was basically me out for the whole season, and the next time I could potentially be playing for Crewe would be in a league that's lower than the current division that we were playing in. So it was a frustrating period for me, and I just wanted to help the team as much as I could, and I couldn't. So yeah, it was really frustrating.
You just mentioned playing wing back there, Dan. What was that? What was that like for you mentally when, throughout your career, you've sort of been shunted out wide or not played where you wanted to, or not got as many minutes as you wanted to in the right position? So what was that like for you?
To be honest, I just wanted game time, and you know, we were in a bad situation, so I just wanted to help the team in any way I could, and it was wing back. And I think the first game that I played there, we beat Cheltenham and we done quite well, so, and I enjoyed that game, so I didn't really mind playing in that position because I just wanted to help the team out in any way I could.
You were one of a few that played wing back that season that were normally strikers.
Yeah. I think Mandron played there quite a bit as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think he's not quite as much of a fan as played up front from what I could see on the pitch, I don't think. Dan, you mentioned the injury and, you know, frustration and all of that. We get relegated at Doncaster whilst you're out, and you actually do come back for the last game of the season, the Lincoln game, before you know, the season comes to an end. At that point, though, there is a new man in charge of Crewe, Alex, from the one who signed you. Dave Artell has been sacked and Alex Morris is in. What changed? You know, what changed with the coaching, with the management style, with the squad as well, with that change in management?
I think it was just... I'm not sure what changed, but... I mean, there was a lot more organisation. I would say when Alex Morris did take over, and that was probably the biggest thing. And I think the players just, you know, it's kind of, I think because of what happened, I think it was just a bit of a fresh start. So some players thought it was a fresh start, and I think at the time when he took over, we started winning games. So I think that kind of gave the boys more belief. And I think that's the main thing, yeah.
So had it gotten a bit stale towards the end then? Because obviously relegation hits a club hard and, you know, people start to look around and see who it is that's fault or who it is the reason. Had the club felt a bit stale with, like, the players, the coaching staff, and the change actually did quite a lot of good then?
I would say so. Looking back now, it was a hard period for everyone at the club, and it was just a really hard period for everyone.
Okay, so you come back in, you've got your injuries out of the way, you're back in to the first team. Now, I was lucky enough to speak to Rio Adebisi at the start of that season, the one that's just finished. And he said to us that, promotion was the aim. I remember thinking at the time, that sounds a bit optimistic for a club that's just gone down with, not a very lot of points in the bag, to turn it around that quickly to get promoted. Was that a genuine belief, or was he just fobbing me off with what he thought I wanted to hear?
I think it was a genuine belief, especially after the first cup few games of the season where we were beating teams and we were beating teams. So we all thought, okay, we could really get somewhere this season and do something this season.
Yeah, you said, again, good start to the season. You got first game away at Rochdale, got a goal, won the game, and then against Harrogate, got a couple of goals. We won the game. So, it started off, we were like, oh, maybe we can do something in League Two this year. Again, with yourself flying. So was that how you felt at the time, that, this could be something that we are going to go on and we're going to do something? Or was it just the realisation that maybe Rochdale and Harrogate are probably quite easier teams to sort of start the season with, and, it's a long old road?
Yeah, I mean, we did know that it was going to be a long old road, but, to have two wins out of two was really promising. And also, with the preseason that we had, I felt we had a good preseason. We drew with West Brom in a good game. I think we lost narrowly to Rotherham as well, and we had a good preseason. So we were all optimistic, and I think it made sense based on how we started the season as well.
For you as well, looking at the teams you played for, both permanent play clubs and on loan, you played in the Premier League, and all of your time, when you've been out on loan or Oxford or at Crewe up to this point, had been in League One. So for you, was it a chance to say, right, I'm going to play every game, I'm going to score lots of goals, and everyone's going to know who I am, and this is my chance to get back high up in the league? Did you see that as your opportunity to sort of to do that and think, maybe I'm a little bit better than League Two?
Yeah, I did, to be honest. When we got relegated, it hurt me a lot. But I thought, okay, well, now I'm in League Two, I have to show everyone why I shouldn't be in League Two, to be honest. And to do that, I'm going to have to score goals and play well and put in big performances. And yeah, I think that was my thinking at the time.
We've talked already about the Swindon goal. That one was one of my favourites from last season. There's a couple of others games that I'm going to pick out that were two of my other favourites. And you actually got two goals in both of them. The first one, Friday night in March at home to Salford. From a fan's perspective, just watching on, pure entertainment. Absolute crazy game, and one that Crewe came out on top of. What was it like to play in that one?
I think for me, that was the best game of the season for me. Just even looking back at it now, I still watch a highlight from time to time and just like, wow, what a game. Just even like when we went 3-3, everyone went to go celebrate, and I think me and Courtney, we went to go get the ball, because I'm thinking, I genuinely thought, okay, I'm going to score here and win the game, and we're going to win the game. And for some reason in my head, I think that when I score, I'm going to take my top off and run around celebrating, and it happened.
I just think, I speak for the vast majority of Crewe fans who have been watching this club for years and years. When they went 3-2 up after 85 minutes, we all thought, oh, I've seen this before so many times. And then I think that's what made it so special, that we came back not just to equalise, but then for you, like you say, to go on and get that winner in the last minute of the game. It was just, yeah, absolute cracking season. And I think it was part of. I don't think any Crewe fan at that point expected the club to be doing as well as they are this year. But I think for me personally, that's where I started to see that, hang on, Lee Bell is starting to do something here. You know, the club was starting to look a little bit healthier than it had for the last 2 years. We've not really talked about the fact that Alex Morris has obviously gone and Lee Bell's come in. But what was your experience of Lee Bell as a manager in that, what would it be, 7 months that you had with him before the, to the end of that season?
Yeah, my experience, I mean, I loved it with him. I thought it was a great manager and he's a good coach and we got along really well. And to be honest, for me, there's no surprise that Crewe are doing well now with him in charge. And I feel like he steadied the ship last season and now he's built on that as well. So, yeah, I'm really happy for him.
You mentioned before that when Morris came in, he sort of brought in quite a lot of structure. When Bell took over, is that something that we sort of let loose a little bit and the players had a bit more freedom, or was there still that structure there?
For me, as an attacker, I mean, all I want to do is create chances, score goals, and it probably wasn't as much structure, but it meant that, like, we can maybe could commit more bodies going forward and get more chances and more opportunities to score goals, and I think that might be the difference. Yeah.
Do you think playing like you played every minute last season, really, you played 46 league games. Do you think that helped you progress as a player?
I did think so. It definitely did help me, you know, playing every single game and playing every minute, really. It did help me a lot. And it just, you know, it gave me just the opportunity, being on the pitch, you know, it gives you opportunities to do something, you know, score goals and create chances. And the more and more game time I got, the more and more I kind of understood the game more, I would say. And by the end of it, I did feel like I had a good understanding of the game and just a good understanding of the players that I'm playing with as well. And I think that's when things really started to click toward the end of the season for us, yeah.
Something we hear a lot of as fans is how Crewe use sort of improving players as a selling point. So do you think that, well, you've just mentioned that sort of was realised with you, but in terms of training and staff, how did we compare to Oxford and other clubs you've been at?
Yeah, I mean, I think Crewe, they've got really good coaches and they really do work on developing players. You know, they got a lot of young players, so I think the model is to develop them and try and push them on. So they do have good coaches and a good development system, and for me, I did feel like it did make me a better player, and it helped me work on areas of my game that needed to be worked on.
Just backtracking slightly, was that something? I know you said one of the selling points was you like playing against Crewe, you like the style they play in. You know, they're well known for playing passing football from the back. Was the coaching something you thought about, or was that something you understood once you were at the club? Was it something you knew going in, or was it a sort of a new thing?
I mean, historically, I've always known Crewe to be a club that bring through a lot of young players and develop young players. So I did kind of know that they would develop a lot of people and that they had good coaches. But I think once I was there, that's when I realised, like, that their coaches were really good and, you know, they really do work on development.
The other game I want to get to from the end of that season, you might be able to guess as well. It's another game you got a double. It was another sort of cracking home game. It was our last home game of the season against Bradford. 3-2. We had nothing riding on the game whatsoever. We were a mid-table team. We weren't going up. We weren't going down. They came fully expecting to turn us over and give themselves a chance for automatic promotion. And then you guys stop that from happening, and especially as you've already said, your mate Chris Long, I think he had quite a fun afternoon with Mark Hughes that day.
Yeah, that was another great game and a good day. And, you know, yeah, Chris Long, he's a great player, and I've got an understanding of Chris Long of like how he liked to cross the ball and where to be when he crosses the ball. And I think I took advantage of that. And thankfully, I scored 2 goals that day. Yeah.
He went, like you say, playing from Oxford to Crewe, and you went from a 1-in-4 striker to basically a 1-in-3 last season. So your goal ratio was excellent, and also your assists. So it was no surprise to anybody that you got a move, and a good move at that. Is it frustrating now that you got the injury in pre-season?
Yeah, for me, it was quite frustrating, especially because I got injured in the very last pre-season game before the start of the season. And I felt, to be honest, my pre-season probably started a bit slow because I wasn't fit because I came a bit later. So it took me a bit of time to get to speed. But by the end of pre-season, I did feel like I was doing really well and ready to step up this season. And then, unfortunately, I got injured. But that is part of football, and you know, it's something that I've been through before, and I know that I can bounce back from. So I'm hoping to be back fairly soon. So hopefully I can just get back fit as soon as possible and help the team as much as I can.
That was going to be my next question, Dan. I remember seeing at the time when I sort of heard about it, it said 5 months. I mean, that must be coming to the end of, you know, back on the training pitch, hopefully soon, or back, you know, or doing all the stuff that you need to do to get match fit. One of the things I'm interested in is the toll on someone's mental health when they are out for quite a long injury spell, because, you know, you've just joined this new club. They've hired you to go and play for them and score goals and help them in League One. You want to do that. You want to be on the pitch doing all of this. And then all of a sudden you can't. What do you do in terms of your mental health? Is there now better understanding of it at football? Do you get help? Is there a system in place, or is it just, you know, we'll keep going, keep getting yourself fit, and then you'll be back in the team?
For me, I think it is just keep going, keep getting, take yourself fit. I know there is things put in place nowadays where you can talk to people and, you know, can talk to psychologists, and a lot of clubs have people that you can talk to if you're not feeling so good. But I'm someone that, you know, I've got my family support system. So I speak to them quite a lot, and it is tough, but what I always remember is it's not forever, you know, and you will come back stronger from it. And I think when I was younger in my career and less experienced, I think these things would have probably hit me more than it does now. But because I've been through a lot of things now in my career, I look at it in a different perspective. And for me, it's just about, you know, being grateful that you get to be on the pitch. And when you're not on the pitch, you just need to work as hard as you can so that when you are back on the pitch, you're ready to perform and deliver.
One of the things I said last year when we played at Leyton Orient away is, obviously we all knew your contract situation, and I said, you know, Leyton Orient are going to be playing in League One this year. Dan's from London. This is an upwardly mobile club in League One. And I said, he put in basically an excellent job audition that day, because I thought you had a really good game when you were down there. Did that honestly cross your mind, or are you still focused on, I'm playing for Crewe at the moment? Or is it, well, you know, I might be moving on, and if someone in League One wants me, then that's great for me?
No, to be honest, I was just thinking about how was I going to score goals and perform well. I had an idea that I could potentially be moving on, but with football, anything can happen. So I don't even dwell on those kind of things. It's more a case of do well for the team and put in good performances, and whatever happens at the end of the season, what happens at the end of the season.
Can I just ask you about some of the players that you played with at Crewe? Looking at the squad that we had the first year, the second year, it was a bit of turnover. So you played with quite a few forward players. We've heard your thoughts on Chris Long. Another Chris, he was there in your first season at the club, Chris Porter, an elder statesman, I think is fair to say. What did you think of him when you got there? You know, very, very long career, very good, successful career. What did he help you with? Did he teach you anything?
I think he was just he was very professional. I think, you know, he's someone that had a lot of experience in the game, and just to see how he trained every day and day in, day out, he was just really professional, and he was a real leader, I would say. So I think that was the main thing.
Was he offside as much in training as he is on a match day?
No, he wasn't. He wasn't.
Saves that.
Yeah.
Mika Mandron?
Mika's someone that I was quite close with. A great guy, and you know, he's someone that's always the life of wherever we are. He's quite a loud character, but he's a great guy, and he's a good teammate, and he's someone that would make everyone feel involved in everything.
You obviously were signed in that January with another forward player, Bas Sambu. He didn't quite go on to have the same impact for the first team as yourself. But what was your relationship like with Bas?
Oh, Bas is one of my best friends at the club. I used to drive him in every day, and you know, we spent a lot of time together. And yeah, towards the end of it, it was quite tough for him, his situation, and you know, where he wasn't performing as well as he felt he could have. And yeah, it was a shame. And he's someone that I still talk to quite regularly.
Someone we've signed in the summer, in between the two seasons you're at Crewe, Courtney Baker Richardson, still at the club. He looks to me similar to what you just said about Mika, quite a character, someone who's quite loud and involved in everything that's going on. Is that the case?
Yeah, I would say that he is, yeah. Very much like Mika.
You're so cool when you take your penalties. Is it just something that you've always done?
To be honest, I used to be awful at penalties. I used to miss penalties quite a lot. And then I think I had taken maybe two or three penalties before, missed all of them. And then when I was at Oxford, a player that I played with, Sean Clare, taught me, he used to take penalties the same way I took penalties, and he taught me how to take it. And since then, I've scored every single one. In front of the sport, I feel quite comfortable and cool, and I just think to myself, if I miss, I miss, but I don't think I will miss because I'm gonna make sure I score. And thankfully, last season I scored all my penalties.
It's definitely a conversation I've had on the podcast. I think James has had that conversation as well, where I think the phrase I used is, I love watching you take penalties, but I also absolutely hate watching you take penalties as well, because it's so slow. There's such a build-up. And obviously, as a Crewe fan, I'm just desperate for you to score. And it's sort of the slowness of it builds up the anxiety. But then you could never argue with the result, because it was always a goal at the end of it. But every time I was like, oh, this might be the one he misses, but it never was. So it was really an odd experience watching you take penalties for Crewe, I think.
Yeah, I think it was an odd experience. I know a lot of people have mixed feelings about my penalty technique. I know a lot of opposition goalkeepers and I'm not happy with it because they don't think it's fair, but at the end of the day, it's about whether it goes in or not. And thankfully, yeah, they all went in.
That's such a stark contrast with your style and then Chris Long's. We're all over the
place. Oh, yeah, yeah.
All over the place.
Yeah, where Chris Long just smashes it, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, that is the style with Chris Long. Dan, I'm almost getting to the end. There's a couple of things I want to ask you then before we wrap up. Do you still keep in touch with anyone who's still at the club now? I mean, Chris Long would be the obvious answer from listening to what you said. Is it him or is there anyone else?
Chris
Long. Do you still
Long,
look out for the results?
Rio Adebisi as well. Peter Kenny quite a bit. Who else is there? Regan a bit. I think he's on loan now. That's more or less it, I think, yeah.
Have you heard much about Rio? Because, I mean, from my perspective, watching him come through from the academy and sort of break into the first team, the player he is this year, it's just a different player. He's developed into such a good player, and he's been asked to play everywhere. So I just don't know whether you've sort of had that conversation with him about how he's feeling about that. If he, you know, what's been the change in this, you know, in how well he's performing on the pitch.
Yeah, I think with Rio, I mean, we've always known how good he is, and you know, last season the season where we got relegated, he got injured for a long time, and I think it took a bit of time for him to get back up to speed with last season. And I think now he's fully fit, and I think now you're starting to see like what he could really do. And yeah, he's playing well right now, and but it's no surprise really.
Is there anyone else that you saw at your time with a club that you think this guy is going to go on to have a good career? I think maybe Joel Taberner was just starting to kick on when you were there. You know, again, he's become a first team regular now. But anyone else that we could get excited about for the future from what you've
seen? I'll say Joel Taberner, Conor Reardon, Matthias Holicek as well. He's got a lot of potential. Those are definitely names that are promising futures.
If you could have taken any of your crew teammates with you to Leyton Orient, who would it be and why?
Any teammate? Oh.
Only one? Yeah.
Is this from the whole season?
Yeah.
I would take Ryan Finnegan with me. Or Chris Long.
I mean, Ryan Finnegan's a fair shout, I think. I'd love to have him back this year in midfield for us. Although the midfielders we've got are not doing too bad this year. So, Dan, I think you described yourself at the start of this chat, or halfway through this chat, as someone who's getting on towards like to be an older player. Are you 26? Is that right? Has Wikipedia got that right? The idea that you're an older player at 26 is just, frankly, it's not something that I'm willing to tolerate. That's not nice for me in my age to think about. So I'd say you've still got a fair few years to go as a professional footballer. Is it too early now to sort of think about what's next? What's going to happen once you hang the boots up? Or have you started to think about those things now?
Yeah, I've started to think about those things. I mean, the PFA come in quite a lot and have talked with us to try and plan for after our careers, and it is something that is crossing my mind.
Coaching or something else? Or
I would like to potentially stay in the game, whether it's coach, manager, or go on a board somewhere. I'm just not too sure what it would be yet.
And in terms of playing, I think the obvious football answer is I want to do well. I want to score goals for Leyton Orient. I want to help the team. Where do you want to say you've played by the end of your career? Who was your team? I never asked you that. Who was your team growing up as a Londoner?
Yeah, surprisingly, my team was actually Aston Villa growing up. I've got no connection to Birmingham or Aston Villa, but it was just a team that I loved as a kid, and it was a team that, I supported as a kid.
So the goal is Premier League, playing at Villa Park then, scoring goals at the whole end?
Maybe not Villa Park, maybe a bigger stadium than that, yeah. Maybe Old Trafford.
Fair enough. But for Aston Villa or for Man United?
For anyone, really, yeah.
Fair enough. Can I just ask you about where the distinctive hairstyle comes from?
I probably started this hairstyle some time into last season, actually. I just felt like I wanted to switch it up a bit. And I went for it and I enjoyed it. And I think I still got it now because I still enjoy it. And now I think it's kind of a part of who I am now, especially as a footballer, yeah.
Yeah, especially when you're scoring goals as well. You know, everyone's going to see the guy with that hair scoring goals and remember them. So I guess it's good for the brand, I suppose, if you leave it as it is now.
Yeah, I guess it is, yeah.
All right, Dan, I am just going to say all the best for the season. I'm sure I speak for everyone listening when I say I hope you get on the pitch, out scoring goals again, doing what you do best very, very soon. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Yeah, I just want to thank you so much for having me on.
Not a problem. You know, we are always happy to talk to someone who is top scorer in a chronic season. You know, that is something that will stick with you and stick with us forever.
Yeah, thank you so much.
James and Trevor, thank you so much for today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, as ever, for listening. We'll be back on Monday. Until then, goodbye. Bomb, 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 bomb